Number 16 is from the Director of Human Resources, a report back on an adopted resolution, file number 12414, requesting authorization to amend Milwaukee County General Ordinance Chapter 80 to incorporate recommended guidelines for a meet and confer process.
Director.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. As you recall, at our last meeting, there had been a resolution passed that asked for a committee to be formed to work on a meet and confer process. The resolution required that the committee be comprised of HR, Labor Relations, Department of Administration, the County Board staff, and Corp Counsel. Since that time, we actually, in pretty short order, were able to really look at what the city does and pull together a meet and confer process we feel could work well. Mr. Cady drafted the ordinance that's before you today, and we're looking to for your reaction and approval.
Supervisor Jersey.
Could we hear from Corp Counsel on whether the ruling in the Madison lawsuit holding Act 10 unconstitutional will cause us problems with this meet and confer process?
Thank you, Mr. Brady.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. I did intend to give you a more detailed, and I still will give you a more detailed briefing in closed session, because I think it's inappropriate for us to get into a lot of discussion about the effects on county government. But what I would say to you briefly is that, first of all, the Dane County ruling is not as broad as many believe it to be. It did not throw out the entire Act 10 changes. In fact, it only threw out a couple of them. There is some question about the breadth in some of the details, but, for example, the Act 10 eliminated interest arbitration for resolving collective bargaining disputes. That was not affected by the decision. That interest arbitration still no longer exists. The judge didn't even talk about that or touch that. The judge also left in place the prohibition on bargaining for things other than wages. Now, there's still some ambiguity about what wages means, but he did leave the prohibition on bargaining over terms and conditions of employment. The only things that were really new in this decision were the change to eliminate the CPI cap on total base wage bargaining. So, based on this decision, governments can bargain to as much as they want for wage increases. There's no CPI cap. A couple of the rulings had already been issued in the prior federal court case, and they're not really repeated now in the state court case, but they're the recertification process and the dues deduction process that have been, those Act 10 provisions were thrown out previously. So that's just a real brief summary to highlight the fact that the decision from the Dane County judge is not as broad as many perceive it to be. It has an effect, no question about that. I don't want to minimize that there's an effect, but it's not as broad as the entire Act 10 being thrown out. That being said, you are always free to meet and confer with your employees, whether collective bargaining exists or it doesn't exist. Even if we were under the law as it existed before Act 10, you could still have a meet and confer process. So I don't think it's inconsistent to have a meet and confer process. If for nothing else, you've got a lot of employees who aren't represented anyway. But you can always have a meet and confer process even if it duplicates a full-fledged collective bargaining process. So the short answer is, I believe that the county board, if it wants to, can still adopt the meet and confer process. Depending on the outcome of the various pieces of litigation, it may end up being the duplication, it may not.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, I have a card from Penny Secor and David Eisner. I'd like to come forward.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. Obviously, our attorney has a different take on it than Mr. Grady does. The easiest way to say it is that District Council 48 has sent out bargaining letters to all the municipalities, the county, the city, everything. I will say that we did meet yesterday with the Meet and Confer Committee. We did get some things resolved. We did get the process looked at. But again, what we are requesting at this time is to lay it over. The reason being is that we are not going to meet and confer if we have bargaining rights. And from what I understand is that the Attorney General's request for a stay, the paperwork isn't going to be done a week. I think it's in a week, and then the oral arguments are the first part of October, and we would know soon after that if a stay is going to be granted or not. So at our meeting that we had yesterday, we did not set another date to meet. So I would say that I think the best action right now would be to lay it over for one cycle to find out what happens in the first part of October with this lawsuit, get better interpretation of this lawsuit, and exactly find out where the parties stand on this ruling.
Yeah, just Dave Eisner from District Council 48, Contract Administrator. You know, echoing what Penny said, we are asking for a layover. Our attorney is forwarding a letter to Milwaukee County to request negotiations to begin, and you know that's our position. Things have changed since Friday with Act 10, and again, reiterate, we just want this laid over for now.
Any questions of the speaker? Supervisor Lipscomb, Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the speakers. I want to make sure I clearly understand the position. Is it only in the context of that decision that you would want this laid over, and that's just AFSCME's position relative to the fact that with collective bargaining they wouldn't participate in this process? But I guess I ask that because, as Mr. Grady noted, there are other employees who would be affected by this process beyond AFSCME or other union represented employees. So if you would have otherwise supported this, then why hold it, why lay it over, why would we not move forward with a process that affords everyone else a meeting to confer, and if in fact you have full collective bargaining, then you'll choose that process over this one?
Well, in our meeting yesterday, the nurses, the DA's representative, their team co was there. We had representative from all of the unions. So we did discuss this, and we did discuss that all of us were in favor of a layover to find out exactly what the law does. The thing that you understand is that we've always had meet and confer on a departmental level. We've always called them labor management meetings. We've always had that until Act 10 went into place. And then at that point, the department said, we're no longer going to meet with you to talk about policy changes, rule changes, and we're changing the attendance policy and all that. That just went away when Act 10 got enacted. We've always had a form of meet and confer, but it was done at the departmental level, not the HR level. Okay? That is, this language that you're having before you now in this resolution changes that, and it will, you know, establish a labor department with Carrie Mitchell and her department would be the oversight, and all of these meetings would be under her, whereas before we had it. So if this law goes into place and it is found that Act 10 is unconstitutional, we would expect to go back to that kind of a system with our labor management meetings where everybody is involved on a departmental level. That has gone away, and I think that's what this meet and confer was supposed to take its place of. But if we find that we have full bargaining rights back, we would probably have it at the departmental level, not necessarily under an ordinance. And that's why I'm saying that to lay it over for 1 month, just one cycle, because by then we should have a clue how it's going to go, and then either we go back to labor management or we do the meet and confer. We have no meetings set up between now and October anyway, so I guess that's part of it.
Mr. Chair, was a follow-up question or clarification. So if we had not had Friday's decision, would the proposal before us, would that have met your expectations of a for a process?
Yeah, with the changes that we made yesterday in our meeting to the actual process, how it was going to go, because the ordinance itself was much more liberal in what we can meet on than the actual process, that pre-process that was before the resolution, because the process itself only talked about items that the board approves of. And we want to know what happens at the departmental level. The ordinance said that, but the process did not. It only said things that are going to be before the board. And so we had some discussion about changing that. I have not gotten a new copy where those things have been changed. I guess that would be my only thing that we had talked about yesterday to be changed.
Mr. Chairman? My question then would be for Ms. Mitchell, whether there were other changes that, based on discussion, that you would anticipate including in this, if this came before us at a future meeting.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. My thought process was, assuming that Meet Confer would be approved, items like the things we've been talking about the last several months, the grievance procedure that we've been proposing, a lot of the proposed from the crosswalk that Mr. Grady had shared, things like that, we had actually asked to have them removed from the agenda, thinking that if Meet Confer were approved and gone through, we would start putting those items through that process before coming to this body. But I will share that regardless of whether or not Meet Confer is passed through at this point in time, that nothing would preclude us from continuing to hold focus groups of employees. We've had some wonderful experiences with that already. If you're interested in hearing about that, Jackie Russell's here and could give you updates on it. But a decision today either way would not change our focus on communicating with employees. It's something we've got to do a better job.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify the comments from the C-Corps when you talked about what would need to be revised within here. We would agree with the unions that there should be a specific amendment. I believe it's on line 71 under sub G, where it says the meet and confer process will be focused on. We would rather have that read, the meet and confer process will include policies of the part. We felt that the existing language that's presented here was a little too limited. We want to make sure the departments have the ability to be involved in the process.
Mr. Chair, I would. I'll move layover of the item for those reasons more than for the reasons stated. I get the position of the union before us that for them they would choose collective bargaining over meet and confer. But nonetheless, I think the meet and confer process is worthy for anyone who is not subject to that now or in the future, and particularly if the department is already telling us that they wish to engage in that kind of a discussion, then having a formalized process makes sense. So I continue to support meet and confer no matter what the environment is on collective bargaining, but it's clear that there are items to be worked out and we will lay over.
I have a motion to lay over. Do I have a second?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to share my frustration. It seemed to me over the summer that the general attitude and message that I was receiving on all fronts was, we need meet and confer. This is very important. Let's move it through. I analyzed it. I looked at it. I became in support of it. It seems like this has been running parallel with the Human Resource Department's objective to be able to create an employee manual that can be distributed and hopefully correct from the start and not needing immediate revision. And if I'm understanding correctly what's been said in the past 10 minutes, it sounds like if collective bargaining is more or less restored to its previous state, that the proposed ordinance changes to allow and essentially create a right in meet and confer are meaningless to the unions, but yet it's my understanding that this meet and confer ordinance would also be for the benefit of non-representative employees as well. So I'm bothered by this, and I'm curious as to Ms. Mitchell's comments as to whether or not this a layover on this item would impede moving forward with the HR manual that's being worked on. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. I think the answer to that question is difficult for me to answer because it will depend on what this committee expects in terms of. In other words, if I come back and say, hey, these are some of the changes we want to put in the handbook, and you once again say, but have you talked with these folks, that would impede our ability to finalize things. So it might impede progress on that based on, I think, some of the interests of this group in terms of having everything fully vetted by various parties. My comment earlier was more geared toward any healthy organization is continually communicating with employees, listening, understanding where they're coming from. And if this is not passed, that won't stop us from continuing to reach out and do better at that. When it comes to, though, the handbook, and which is really a communication vehicle for, you know, what all of our policies are, you know, I am concerned that it could be held up by this panel.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, what's the current motion, or Madam Clerk, current motion?
Just the layover.
Mr. Chairman, to one of your concerned supervisors about the non-reps, there were no non-reps invited or at the meeting yesterday, and the meeting yesterday was held very quickly because of the meeting here today. There has been no outreach from management before yesterday to have meetings. When the original grievance procedure and when the original crossroads was submitted to you, it was never discussed with us in the beginning. We were never given copies till it was on the agenda here. I understand that there were some focus groups out there, and my understanding is there was a very low turnout because people were afraid of retaliation to come and speak about it. So I understand your concerns about the non-reps, but they weren't there yesterday at the meeting for meet and confer, and so I don't know how they can be represented if they're not part of the process to begin with.
Mr. Chairman, I understand the current motion before us is to lay over. I just want to share that I don't intend to be supportive of that. I would be more supportive of a temporary layover, so perhaps we could take Mr. Sessions' advice and look at the one or two lines in the proposed ordinance and possibly come up with an amendment before the end of today's meetings. But I'm more inclined to move this forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. We have a motion for layover. Any other comments?
Like the director had something to say.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to clarify Ms. Secor's comments, I think there might be confusion as to the purpose of the meeting that was held, which we attempted to schedule about 3 weeks ago, and just due to schedules, it took until Friday to get it meshed together. But the intention was not to pull together and have a meet and confer meeting with a bunch of employees. It was we want to get union leaders' response to the process that we're trying to lay out. So that's why employees were not invited to that. And again, I mentioned Jackie Russell's here if you'd like to hear about how successful our focus groups were. It was just a wonderful experience, and we'd like to continue doing that. We will. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Director. We have a motion for layover. Any other comments? Okay. Any need for any further clarification?
On the layover, Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Romo West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
No.
Stafford?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to layover approved 8-1.
Thank you. Item 17,